The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. A gorgeous, but I mean, it is a hot, humid, as you would expect, late July. Hard to believe. I mean, July nearly done. August gets here Thursday, and with that, the start of Auburn fall football practice.
Yeah, so, got to wear shorts to the office Thursday to go out to practice in the morning.
I definitely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the good thing is practice is in the morning at least.
Yes, thank you.
It is
yes,
so thankfully. Much better. I mean, practice going to be – and Don, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio as well. Don, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, he was – when I said Thursday's the first day of practice, and he said the practice in the morning, I hope.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, at least they don't have two-a-days.
No.
Like the old two-a-days.
I remember Coach Dye in three-a-days.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you do three-a-days when you were playing?
Oh, yeah.
Golly. Yeah. I mean, that is –
full pads.
Yeah. Right off the bat, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yep.
We had our – we would report. We'd have a physical, a test, a conditioning test, which very few of us passed.
Right.
So then we were getting up at 5 in the morning for punishment, running – going to breakfast in the first practice. After my freshman year, though, I made my test from
then
on.
Figure that. Well, Bill and I can remember, at least at Auburn, what report day used to be like. There is no report day anymore because they're always here.
Everybody hang out
but
in the lobby.
In the old Sewell Hall, before the new Donahue dorm was built, I mean, we'd all gather, and literally moms and dads are dropping off their kids.
Right. Exactly.
And they're coming in, and we're getting interviews, and I mean, there's –
you're finding
Cheers.
Out what they did over the summer, yeah, the
exactly.
jobs they may have had.
I mean, that was our first real media anything with the new players. Now it's completely different now.
Right. Absolutely.
And most of these guys now are here in January. It's almost unusual to not go through a spring practice before fall camp begins.
Well, Auburn had 20 signees this past December, and 16 of those started school in January.
Yeah.
Wow,
so.
That's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'd gotten to the point where it was very unusual for players not to have been around before the start of fall camp.
Right.
They were
coming in June.
Right, and being here all summer and working out, but now it's unusual when they're not here.
Yeah, yeah.
The transfer portal is about the only thing that has changed that a little bit. I mean, you still add players following spring practice, so those are some guys – that have more catching up to do.
Well, and Peyton Thorne is an example of that.
Absolutely.
A year ago. And I think that hurt Peyton not going through spring ball last year. I think it helped him to be able to, in addition to last season, get a spring practice with this group, with this offensive line, with most of these receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to help him a great deal as he gets ready for this season.
Well, I think that's what Hugh Freeze is expecting, and we'll start seeing hopefully some of the results of that on Thursday. That's the voice of the Auburn Tigers that you have just heard. Andy Burcham with us here in hour number one. How's it been going, Andy? I know you've been working prepared. You've got your boards ready.
I work on this almost every day, and part of it is just the nerd in me. I try to.
Oh, I like
out.
It perfect, too.
Yeah, and one of the here's just a little bit behind the scenes. When in Auburn, we will see at times three linebackers out there this year, which we have not seen much in the past.
Right.
I'm having trouble finding room for the three linebackers side by side on my boards. So I've got a linebacking crew that's kind of off to the side.
Are you
going
to have to make the font a little smaller?
Well, I can't do that.
Oh, okay.
I've got to be able to read what I put down.
But I get a bigger board.
I enjoy it. Rod did too. Rod would tinker, and you change things.
I'm constantly adjusting each time. Yeah. Each time we get a chance to go to practice, I'm looking at who's running where and things like that.
Well, and here's an example. Here's a guy that I want to watch Thursday is Jaron Thompson. Mm-hmm. I want to see, because I mean, this guy's been a starter at Texas
right.
basically for his whole career.
I expect him to be a starter.
I'm with you too. And I think that is correct. And I was on in Birmingham this morning
mm-hmm.
with our Auburn Sports Network affiliate, the guys on Jocks, Mac and Cube this morning. Not to give somebody else some love
fine.
There. But as it turns out, I'll be doing those guys in the morning and you guys in the afternoon, the drive in the afternoon. And they asked me, what are you going to be like? That's one of the areas.
That's exactly. I had that question. I didn't hear you this sure. morning, but that was one of the things I was going to ask.
But the middle up front with all the new guys, Carter, Keys, Rakes,
yes.
Bleedy, Jason Jones, Malik Blockton, that's the one area. And Don, this, mm-hmm. I mean, this that's your guys.
Right.
What are these guys? I mean, how is that going to shake out
well,
for Auburn? I mean, they're almost all are transfer portal guys. They've all been successful elsewhere. They're at Auburn now. How does that shake out? I mean, it's going to be almost a brand new defensive front the middle for those guys. Nose tackle and defensive tackle.
And Bleedy and Rakes are two of the guys that I was talking about
yeah.
that came in after spring. So
there you are.
So we haven't yep. seen them with a full team. I mean, I asked Coach Freeze, you know, a question about competition and which spots that he think would have the most competition, and he mentioned defensive line, although he said he didn't feel like it was really competition for the starting job, but he was hoping that they'd be able to play six guys mm-hmm. there on the interior, Don. And
in the two spots there up front.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's what we hope to have. Yeah.
Well, that's what they're hoping.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, can we do it? I don't know, but I'm sure they're going to have some real battles here early. Because they can't wait around.
No.
Time is essence.
Yes.
But as you said, Andy, I mean, they've got guys with a good bit of experience
yeah, elsewhere
at the Power 5 level.
Yeah.
I mean, Carter played at Texas. He started at Minnesota. Rakes transfers from A&M. Keys comes from Kansas and Minnesota.
And Minnesota, where he and Trill Carter yeah. were teammates
and,
there.
And Bleedy is a guy from Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's four guys that are brand new to Auburn that have all transferred in from Power 5 schools elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to shake out for Auburn? And they needed those guys.
Yep. Oh, absolutely they did.
If there is a position on this team that Auburn benefited from the transfer portal more, it's those two spots up front. Defensively.
Yeah, well, the two spots that that Hugh Freeze talked about when the season was coming to a close
right.
and heading into recruiting and the offseason, wide receiver, defensive line.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you see the biggest turnover in both, well, the most additions.
Well, and the receiver, it's a blend, isn't
yes.
it? I mean, you've got three highly touted freshmen. I don't know if Auburn's had this much of a freshman class maybe since Aroma Shadu and Obamanu.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
This may be actually maybe a little more.
But it compares mm-hmm. to that.
Oh, yes. Not since.
Yeah.
Nothing since then is compared.
And then you've got Keandre Lambert-Smith, and you've got Robert Lewis, and you've got Sam Jackson, and these guys are all the veteran transfers mm-hmm. in. And then, oh, by the way, you know, Caleb Burton, a guy that's been – it's easy to forget the guys that have been here.
Well, and Caleb Burton especially, because he right. just came in last year and he was coming off an injured
right.
redshirt year at Ohio State.
And then there's Camden Brown. So it's a really interesting mix. There's a couple guys that are back, and then there are six, seven guys that are brand new. Some are freshmen, some are guys that are transferring in and have mm-hmm. had success where they transferred from.
Oh, yes.
At that receiver spot.
Yeah, so that will be. I think probably most folks are going to want to watch the receivers.
If you watch nothing more than just the A-Day game
right.
and a couple passes to Cam Coleman, that's one reason why.
But you get to add on to that
exactly.
the Penn State's number one receiver from
exactly.
this past year, Perry Thompson, the five-star from Foley.
Who is not here.
And Malcolm Simmons.
Yes.
Who is an amazing athlete up the road in Atlantic City.
We'll all be watching wide receivers.
Oh, yes.
Let's be honest. I mean, that's probably the first group that we'll watch this year just because of the influx of talent at that spot and desperately needed
Oh, the
for
Auburn
this 24 season.
The Auburn offense really struggled last year, and one of the reasons was they couldn't stretch the field.
Right. You couldn't get separation.
How, and we've talked about this a little, how much is this going to help Rivaldo Fairweather?
Well,
I mean, he was, because he was a marked man last year, he was the biggest, the most dangerous weapon Auburn had as far as a receiver.
And nobody outside Auburn is talking about him.
You're right.
Nobody outside.
No respect at SEC.
But Rivaldo was Auburn's leading receiver in catches, passes, and touchdowns. Passes, receiving yards, and touchdowns.
Right.
And he's one of those hybrid guys. And I think he uses that to his advantage this season. And with the rest of those guys at wide receiver. Because a year ago, listen, guys, a year ago, we all know, he was basically the only jump ball guy that you had.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case now. You've got options. And then you've got Rivaldo.
Well, you had a lot of teams that could shade a safety, a second guy over with him. They're not going to be able to do that.
That's
now.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they shouldn't be able to. That's what we have to see. You've got to see Keandre Lambert-Smith and Cam and, a couple of the receivers step up and show that they deserve all the attention. Then it's going to be very tough for us, for a linebacker,
right,
or even a safety to just hang with Rivaldo.
Listen, Luke Deal's back for his sixth year, I guess.
Is that all?
I'm not sure. And by the time Auburn plays his first game, Luke's going to be a father. By mid-August, by mid-camp, he's going to be a father for the first time, which is terrific.
Sure.
If you've had any opportunity to spend time with Luke Deal, I mean, there's one of your team leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But who else steps up at the tight end spot behind Rivaldo? Mike O'Reilly, this is kind of the time for Mike O'Reilly to take that step as a receiving tight end for Auburn.
I liked what we saw from Brandon Frazier last
Agreed.
Year. Now, he's married, too, and,
right,
and I mean,
not that that matters.
Well,
it's
it can sort of set you on your path, keep you on your path a little bit better.
Here's a question for you.
I can attest to that.
Here's a question for you, Don.
Yes, sir.
When you were playing, how many guys were married?
I don't know if there was any.
Not many.
Do you remember?
Not many at all.
I can't remember any of them.
We see that a little bit more now,
don't
we?
A lot more.
You know? I think, anyway. That's just a comment.
Wow. Well, you don't have to worry as much about curfew if they're married.
Hopefully you
hope.
Don't.
No. Yeah,
I sure
exactly.
hope you don't.
Exactly.
Oh, man. We're just getting underway. Bill here in the studio. Dan it's sort of moving day for Dan. I mean, we were talking a little yesterday about, real estate. I mean, properties.
Oh, it's literally moving day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He had to be out of his current place by noon tomorrow. And I think he found a place. May have Drew helping him too,
okay,
because we're right now. Jacob has hung around
Wow.
after on the line. He's hung around because Drew said he'd be a few minutes late. If Dan will let him go, he may be in. I can run the board if it comes down to it. But we've got Andy here, Coach Don Dunn. We'd love for you to join in. You can do so by giving us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Or you can text us on the Drive text box. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And the number there is 334-564-1840. We'll go ahead and get to our first break here of the Tuesday edition of the Drive. Come on in and join us. Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham here in the studio. Jacob still at the controls. He keeps looking out the window, waiting to see if Drew's going
to longingly to see if Drew drives
I'm
up.
You, at the bottom of the hour, I'll take over. That's fine. If Drew's not here, I'll run it for the rest of the show.
When Bill and I were doing this show way back when, Bill would get angry if he didn't run the if he didn't run the board. If I said I'll run the board, didn't no, I'll do it. Okay, it's all yours.
Well, no, you get well. I just
am
get
I right?
In, you get into you're right.
Okay,
you get into sort of a rhythm when you're doing it, though. You know,
yeah,
it's
I
like,
know, I know.
And you get comfortable on that side.
See, sure. I'm always looking for interns, though. I'm always looking to give up my board op opportunity because then I can like sit over there and just host my show in the afternoons and just worry about that side of it.
Yeah, but you know, when you're running it, you can turn people up or down. You can cut them off. You can get
That's
the break
true.
Whenever you want.
That's
you,
true.
You can do that.
There
so.
Is a certain amount of power.
There absolutely
yes.
is. Andy, I know you're a fan of the Olympics. You've been watching.
I have, and I've been. There's Drew. He just drove up. Uh, I I have, and I've got a TV in my office, so I was able to watch a little bit today.
Yeah,
some of the live coverage.
See SUNY and Team USA win the team gold.
When I get home tonight, Jan and I will sit down and we'll watch all the primetime.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if it's the Summer Olympics or the Winter Olympics.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it is.
And we got us a war eagle today. You'll see.
Yeah, and
you sure did. It's
I don't know if you'll see that on TV or not. I've seen it on social media.
I saw we saw it on
you
TV.
Did. See, yes. I didn't. I was kind of flipping.
I mean, Kathy made sure that she was watching the coverage as it was going on.
Yeah. Someone yells War Eagle to her, and I don't know when it
occurred.
She
gets a fist pump.
Yeah, she turns around and fist pumps whoever it was. So that was kind of neat.
But that makes you believe in America and young people, man. It's so exciting. And that crazy guy on the gymnastics with the glasses.
Oh, no kidding. It didn't look like an athlete.
Like a gymnast.
You're talking about the guy that was on the pommel
the
horse last
guy.
Night. From Penn State, I think.
Clark.
And that was it. That's all he did.
He does.
And he sat there motionless.
He was taking a nap for a while.
We're talking about the men's team competition last night. The U.S. was trying to get a medal for the first time since 08.
Mm.
And the only event that he was in was the pommel horse. And that's where the United States ended last night. So he waited for every event, and he was the final one to go.
Right.
To the pommel
That's
horse
tough.
Last
and
night.
Had to do well.
And he has Clark Kent glasses. And
he took them off.
Took them off to do it, and he was terrific. And
he really was.
U.S. won the bronze. It was pretty cool.
Hey, did you see have you heard about the Auburn connection? That there's another Auburn connection.
Had no idea. You're talking about the
Leon
French swim?
Marchand?
Yeah, I had no idea that his father swam at Auburn.
Well, actually, his father didn't swim collegiately at Auburn. He swam for Auburn Aquatics and David Marsh. As he was, after he'd already competed in two Olympics, Xavier Marchand, Leon's dad, came to Auburn and swam for Auburn Aquatics and competed against a lot of the, he competed against Michael Phelps, as a matter of fact, in 2004 in an event here at Auburn. But there's a cool picture. Yeah, did you see
the picture
of him? With his son, Leon, at Auburn.
Yeah, he's
holding him.
He's on the pool deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got his swim trunks on, and there's the man that is going to be one of the absolute stars in the pool.
I thought, gee, did I miss him competing at Auburn? When I read a couple of background stories about Leon and his family and everything, but he spent time at Auburn with David Marsh. So, there's a little bit of
If you get a chance, and you probably will tonight, watch the end of the women's rugby sevens bronze medal match between the U.S. and Australia. Watch how that match ended. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
I did not see it.
I'm just going to leave it alone.
As I was getting ready to come in.
It is their version of the kick six.
Well,
so to speak.
Can they? They're the best
it's
tacklers.
Good. It's good news, I would think, for Team USA because I saw their first ever medal.
But they needed a last second, and I don't know. I apologize. I don't know the terminology, but they needed to score. For the lack of a better, they needed to score a touchdown with the extra point. It's not called that.
They needed to score as time was running out,
and it was like a 90-yard run.
Wow.
Or I don't know. I'm showing my ignorance when it comes. Folks that play rugby are like, boy, this guy didn't know. And you're right, I don't. But it is a thrilling,
it's still exciting
finish, and that's one of the great things about the Olympics to me. Listen, I don't pay attention to rugby, or I do pay attention to some of the sports because we see it on the Auburn campus, but.
If there's sports that you're not around and haven't had a chance to either participate in or see, in person, it's hard to.
That's one of the beauties of the Olympics.
Yep.
Regardless of the opening ceremonies,
sports that you don't see elsewhere.
Exactly.
Fencing.
Yes. The U.S. does well
exciting.
In that.
1-2.
Yeah. Right. They faced against each other.
Right.
And one was in med
From
school
Lexington.
Of Kentucky.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm.
There you go.
All right. Just some cool stuff from the Olympics. But
real quick, back to the rugby. You know, remember a couple of years ago they started putting in the rugby-style tackling. Started with the pros to try to save the head injuries. You know, put the head on the other side instead of, the days
Lead
we were taught
your, yeah.
right in the face.
Right.
I mean, the chest. And if they can tackle. Them girls, it's amazing. And the guys.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of injuries because they don't really stick. And it's a penalty. Sunday, I saw a guy got kicked out of the game for a high tackle.
Okay.
So, but there's all kinds of tapes, and we had to study all that and Of course, we all thought it was ridiculous at the time, but it makes sense.
Right.
It makes sense. Yeah. For safety, no question.
If you get a chance, watch the ending of the U.S. match today.
Will do.
Yeah.
We've been watching a good bit of it as it comes up. So that's going on. Obviously, we'll talk a little more about the start of fall football practice. Something else, though, that I would imagine you keep a little eye on this as well. The Major League Baseball trade deadline, Andy, is in about 35 minutes.
And, yeah. I've been
expecting – let's see, the Cardinals got involved in a three-way deal
right.
yesterday, and I thought came out pretty darn well.
They get Tommy Pham back, and then they get a pitcher from the White Sox. It was not the
Eric,
guy.
Got Eric Fetty,
yeah.
who used to be – I mean, it was a big-time prospect with the Nationals a few years ago, right. went and pitched in the Korean League a year ago, was having a very good year for a very bad White Sox
well,
team.
Well, the Cardinals have not played well since the All-Star break.
No.
And have struggled. And so you just wonder how much this is going to help St. Louis at this point. But, yes, I mean, I think the Braves helped themselves yesterday.
Oh, yes. I mean, they reacquired a couple of pieces, right. including the MVP
of the World Series
in 21. Right. And Luke Jackson was a key piece in the bullpen
right.
for that World Championship team.
So we'll find out how well that helps. But, yeah, that's kind of a fun time of the year. You find out if your team wants to play.
That's right.
Or if your team wants to sell. And if your
are
team
you
wants to sell.
Are you selling?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, let's see. We have seen that the Miami Marlins are big. They're selling everything.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not.
No.
But, I mean, they do this every few years. And
right.
then they get pretty good.
Right.
They were a playoff team a year ago.
They are the common day version of what used to be the Philadelphia A's under Connie Mack.
And the Kansas City A's.
Yeah, they'd get really good, and then they would sell everything off.
When they were in Kansas City, they'd send them all to the Yankees.
Right.
And if anybody was any good, they'd go to the Yankees.
Right.
It's fun to keep up with. We'll let you know if the Braves make any other moves or if there are any other big moves. Still, no huge names. No. I mean, there have been talk about Tarek Skubal or Jack Flaherty or, you know, hitters wise, Vlad Guerrero or anybody, nobody like that thus far has gone anywhere.
The pitcher with the White Crochet with the White Sox
Garrett
that played
Crochet.
At Tennessee, apparently, and just judging from the stories that have come out, he's kind of put himself, or his people have put himself in an innings pitched situation because he could be a starter or a reliever.
Well, he has never been a starter
or
until
both.
This year in
right.
professional ball.
Yeah.
And he's gone well past the maximum number of innings he'd ever pitched in a year
right.
this year. So we were talking about it a little bit yesterday. Dan was pointing out Greg Olson wasn't thrilled with the statement that was made if a team wants him to be able to,
right.
to be available in the postseason, he wants another year on his contract. That's just the way things are
these days. And I understand
and,
Greg.
And
I understand Greg's side.
Understand Greg's side too.
Sure.
But I also understand Garrett Crochet and his folks' side.
Sure.
Thinking about his health because you see somebody get overworked and.
Hasn't he already had arm surgery?
Yes.
Before?
Yes. Yes. And he's 20 innings over the most he's ever pitched.
Right.
And it's not August yet, so. So we'll see. He still may go somewhere. I would think there'd be a team willing to add a year to that young man's contract because. You know, he's a special.
He is a special. You're
pitcher.
Right.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Drew has indeed
made
it.
Here.
Drew, were you helping Dan?
I was.
That's what I thought. See,
wow.
What a guy. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Don Dunn, Coach Dunn, voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham.
It's the old guys' day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Dan may come in. He'll be feeling like an old guy after he's been moving.
Oh, no kidding.
Said he might be in a little later. Drew was helping him get moved to another place here in town. Yes, it is that time. I mean, folks that have had leases, they're running out tomorrow. if you've had them, you know, through the summer.
I do.
They're running out tomorrow. Yeah. So, and we're going to see an awful lot of more folks in town here soon. It's noticeably busier.
Yeah.
Has been over the last few days than we saw for most of the summer.
Graduation is Saturday.
Yep.
And then not too long after that, the fall term begins.
It will be
crazy.
You know, rush move-in time and the start of the fall term.
If you want to get downtown for a bite to eat,
go ahead.
You got a couple weeks, baby.
That's right. You better jump on it. Get to it. Andy, one thing, you wanted to get your thoughts. I know we can't get into all the details, but what an impressive Big Cat this time. I mean, for a couple of years, Big Cat nearly disappeared. Hugh Freeze and his staff have put quite the emphasis on adding talent to this roster. We talked about it a little while ago, just with the number of players, new players that were already in school and the transfers. But Big Cat Weekend, a rousing success. I mean, Auburn has added 8 commits, 5 for 25, 3 for 2026 since Saturday afternoon.
And I guess coming out of the weekend, that 26 class was number 1 or number 2 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at this point, depends, I guess, on the rating service at this time. We saw a glimpse of this a year ago.
No question.
We saw a glimpse. We saw a couple guys that flipped, and I mean, the famed meme or gif or whatever you want to call it of Hugh with that fist pump, and we see it now just about every time there's a commitment announcement. We saw that a little bit a year ago.
Well, you saw DeMarcus Riddick flip from Georgia.
He's the one. He was the first one.
Yeah, and he was just before Big Cat, and then on Big Cat,
right,
it was Perry Thompson.
Exactly. So we saw a glimpse, boy, but this past year, just, and I was talking again, you look at that weekend, and listen, we knew Hugh Freeze could recruit. John Cohen is on this week's Talking Tigers podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the first thing he did as athletic director at Auburn was hire Hugh Freeze. And he said during the podcast, he said, "I knew that Hugh Freeze was a good recruiter when we hired him. I didn't realize he was this good." And he said that about a couple of the people that they're on the staff.
Well, it's tough sometimes to gauge when he was at Ole Miss, who he was recruiting against, who he was trying to recruit.
And I don't want to take any credit away from Coach Freeze. But that's Don, you know, that's a staff thing.
Yes.
I mean, that's your staff. And then a lot of folks behind the scenes that put on a Big Cat Weekend or any recruiting weekend. The folks in the recruiting office, and just, I mean, it's a huge undertaking. And Auburn knows what it's doing. Mm-hmm. Auburn football, Auburn basketball. I mean, they know what they're doing. Look what Auburn baseball did this spring. We were talking about this off the air. Jacob talked about it in his show before this one today. Bill, I don't ever remember an Auburn baseball class coming in intact.
Especially a very, very highly touted class. There may have been a small class where, you know, this is a highly nationally ranked class that everyone who signed is coming in.
By all indication, back to your original, it was a fabulous weekend for Auburn football. Not only for the 25 class, but for the 26 class as well. And they're recruiting beyond that.
Oh, yes.
As well, as Don, as you know. Yep. Firsthand, you know what that's like. Now you got to get them in December. You got to get them to signing day at this point in this year and next year to get those guys, their names on the dotted line, and then perhaps get them in January. They go through spring practice. But all indications, it was a fabulous, almost a record-breaking weekend for Auburn football.
And I don't, and they're not done.
No.
They're not done with commitments.
You're never done now.
No.
Are you?
Well, no, I mean that's and there's some folks that are thinking, well, how many spots does Auburn have? Well, a lot.
Right.
Because of the rule, I guess it hasn't been officially approved.
Right.
The agreement that would increase scholarships and the set the roster size and all players could be on scholarship. But the NCAA rule a year ago that did away with the 25 initials and just said all you have to be concerned with was the maximum number of players on scholarship.
Right.
So I mean, there are a lot of spots available.
Because of the transfer portal, you're never stopped recruiting, ever, at this point.
Right.
And Coach Freeze has talked about this a lot. especially when we get to the end of the year. They hate the timing of signing day and when guys can transfer and not knowing the numbers you've got on signing day because guys can still transfer after signing day leading into the bowl season. You're never not recruiting, in my opinion.
No, and there's something else that I have a question about that I have not seen an answer to is another proposal from the NCAA is doing away with the 45-day windows and just making them 30-day windows for the transfer portal. I am wondering, Andy, here's a question you can ask of
I sure will.
Folks.
Tell me what it is.
Well, it's if we do indeed go to a 30-day transfer portal window,
yeah.
Will it be one 30-day window or is there going to be two 15s? Because I know that coaches would love for there to just to be one window at the end of the season and not have that other portal window in the spring. If it were done that way, I would guess, guys, that you'd be able to transfer and play immediately if you transferred at the end of the season. But if you transferred at any other time, you'd have to sit out a year.
It's a great question, Bill.
I think that's what coaches and administrators would love to have, yeah. Don, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt. It's just, right now, I don't know how they do it, and I've said that a million times. But I agree with you, Bill. They need the one-time window of 30 days.
Well, I do know. I mean, that's a proposal from the NCAA that's up for approval to change that 45-day windows for both football and basketball down to 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, a guy like Will Redmond, who is the general manager for player personnel for Auburn, those guys have to be monitoring that transfer portal
24/7.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
you can't miss.
Think how important that was for Auburn when Hugh Freeze came in.
Right.
Because that first class was almost entirely the transfer portal. But he has a staff. He's been on the podcast. It was interesting to talk to him, the guy that started at Tennessee in the sports info office.
Mm-hmm.
And to get into football, he mopped floors in the student union, I think in the student union at UT, to be able to work for the football staff. Then went to Middle Tennessee. He went to Michigan, not University of Michigan, I think maybe Western, I'm not sure, Kansas, LSU, and then got the call to come to Auburn. And although he's a guy that went to Tennessee, his family are Auburn people. They've been up at Lake Martin.
Yeah,
but it's fascinating to listen to him talk. But he has a staff, and that's what these guys are doing.
That's what
these guys are doing at this. But they take their tone from the head coach, but they are the ones. They are roster management. Now, who would have thought we would ever be talking about this, Don, when you were coaching
never.
At Auburn?
But never.
But it is.
No, you had guys and they were yours,
right?
Unless they decided to leave, and you didn't have to. You weren't as concerned about it because they were going to have to sit out
exactly
when they transferred somewhere else.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Another thing I think Auburn's done a great job of, and we've said this before, is identifying the prospects. You can miss. I mean, you can get a lot of commitments that are not players. Now these guys are all top players, so they've done a great job evaluating, identifying them, and going after them, and staying on them. You know, a lot of guys will give up and say, oh, well, he committed to so-and-so, but they don't. They keep on. They do it the right way. I don't think they, you know, intimidate them or they keep them friendly or whatever I'm trying to say.
Sure. They don't burn a bridge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when that opportunity comes to get in, they're in.
Exactly.
Well, sure. I mean, these days, nobody can afford to do that just because a player signs at one school doesn't mean that he's going to stay there. You may have a chance in 3 months.
Right.
You know, if they go to school and don't like it, I mean, as soon as the season's over, they may be in the portal.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
I mean, it is crazy to keep to just sort of follow.
Yeah.
And yes, what a tremendous job they've done, and it takes quite a few folks. I mean, people wonder about, the size of the support staff. Well, if you don't have that many people, you don't have bodies keeping up with everything that's going on with your roster and everyone and any other player that might be hitting the portal.
I mean, Jason Caldwell and Brian Matthews and all the folks that covered that last weekend and did a terrific job.
Mm-hmm.
Covering that. I mean, it's just some of the pictures. Take a look at the, there was the one of the pictures that struck me was the picture of, and I'm guessing it was for when the players were, there were, I don't know how many golf carts they had lined up.
You're right.
For transportation. And listen, think about that. Just that coordination alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to have it smooth. You don't want to upset somebody and their family or mom and dad because it was hot.
Yes. So
yeah, you better not have grandma waiting to, or walking.
No. No. My goodness gracious, that'd be disastrous, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I've been there. Yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly what Hugh and Auburn football wanted, to have a big weekend there. I got a couple of days. I see he had a pretty good day today.
Yes, he had a hole in one today.
Yeah.
Hugh golfed and got a hole in one. He's a good golfer now. I mean, he's a really good golfer. He may be the best golfing head coach Auburn's ever had. He can play.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hole in one. I don't know. I have no idea where he's
playing. Things are going pretty well for him right now leading up to the start of fall camp.
Ride the wave, baby.
Yeah. It'll be a Thursday morning. Right. Looking forward to it.
And he will meet with the media before that practice on Thursday. We'll get to ask some questions of the head coach. Going in, get to talk to some players Friday and Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They're off Saturday because of graduation
right.
on campus. I believe that's the reason they're not going to practice. And then back at it this coming week and get ready.
Yeah, and while they have the opportunity before classes get started, practice in the morning.
Yeah.
You were talking, how long you with us?
One more. This, I'm good.
Okay.
Go.
Well, we've got a little time before we have to get to a final break, but I wanted you to just talk a little bit about the Talking Tigers from your perspective, because I mean, it's given you an opportunity to get to know some of the people that you see and may speak to all the time, but it's a whole lot different when you just see somebody and, hey, how are you? That type of thing. And you might see them quite a few different functions, but being able to sit down and spend some time and really get to know them.
Ace Atkins, who was on the 93 team, his father, a legend at Auburn, played on the 57 national mm-hmm. championship team, coached
and still see the Sports Illustrated cover.
Exactly. Ace is a prolific novelist now mm-hmm. and lives in Oxford, Mississippi. Has written a series of books about a ranger, an army ranger that comes back to this mythical town in northwest Mississippi. He is also, incredible talent. And I sat down with he we did it over a Zoom one day. He was at his office on the square in Oxford.
Huh.
And he told me one thing, and it's one of those duh moments. When he said it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. He says, people love to talk about themselves. Think about that for a second. There have been times where I've been a little reluctant to say, hey, would you be on the podcast with me? Because I didn't know how folks like to talk.
Right.
And it was just one of those dumb moments. And he's very good, by the way, very entertaining. But it has given me the opportunity to get to, and when I talk to him, Bill, I'm like, listen, you have an Auburn story. I want you to tell your Auburn story. And I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I know that story, but I want them to tell it. Sometimes they're telling me something I had no idea about, and it's not just from athletics. And it's fascinating to get to talk to folks because it's we're not under a time constraint. We can go as long or as short as we want. And it's just fun. And we try to cover as much as we can from an Auburn perspective as we possibly can. And it is, they're the big names. I mean, it's fun to sit down in a Zoom with Charles Barkley.
Sure.
Because Charles is as entertaining as there is,
mm-hmm.
and you never know what Charles is about to say. But he is he's a brilliant man in what he has done. And the folks that he has given to is inspiring to me. But to learn a story about Mayo Sewell. Mayo played football at Auburn. Was a linebacker
mm-hmm.
in the early 2000s. With you.
Right.
And, was it didn't pan out for Mayo when it came to the NFL. And he fell on some very tough times. And it was his fault. And he spent time behind bars. But a guy like a Ronnie Brown never gave up on Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie was among those that visited him in prison. And Mayo came out, got his life together, and is now a pastor of a thriving brand new church in the Atlanta area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remarkable story.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
To let him sit down and tell me that story. LIV, Live Church, is what he, it's an offshoot, I believe, of Church of the Highlands. And he is doing very well with his wife and family. So get to know those stories. Or a Tim Putz. Tim's playing in the Olympics right now for Germany as a tennis player, and his doubles team won again today. All right? Tim played tennis at Auburn. Tim, two seasons ago, won the French Open mixed doubles championship with a gal either from China or Japan. I can't recall. They had never played together.
Wow.
And they won the French Open title. And I did an interview with Tim literally as he's driving from Paris to his home in Germany, and he was in a traffic jam trying to get it. And that's when we did the podcast. I said, "How big's the trophy?" He says, "It's not as big as you'd think." But it was in his French Open trophy was in his back seat.
That's awesome.
So it has given me the opportunity to get to know some of these folks that, for example, although it was during COVID and we had to do it over Zoom, I had a chance to talk with Suni Lee when she came to Auburn after she won the gold medal 3 years ago in Tokyo. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no kidding.
I took a picture of it and sent it
to
my family.
Save all those, absolutely.
That's your brother talking to Suni Lee, gold medal winner right there.
Yeah, how about that? So, Andy Burcham with us. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Hey, you can join in as well, 334-321.
I need to get Don Dunn on that podcast one day.
You do?
That's what I need to do.
Yeah, I hope you got a big screen.
Big as you need, buddy.
321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Take your brand to the next level with Master Graphics, the local screen printing and design experts. Business, church, school, or organization, Master Graphics has you covered. Experience designs that captivate and...
Free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here of hour number one. Fun hour. It always is when I've got Don and Andy both. I can just sit back and enjoy. No, it's great. Dan may be in here for hour number two. We'd love for you to join in as well. Anything that you'd like to talk about sports wise, Andy. I mean, it's about that time.
Yeah,
as we said. I mean, you've got the Talking Tigers continuing, but we're getting close not just the start of practice.
Right. Well, and John Cohen is on the podcast this week. We talk NIL, of course. We talk about facilities, some of his recent hires as head coaches, look ahead to this season. Next week, coming Monday, is Jason Campbell.
Okay.
Looking back 20 years on that 2004 team that won the SEC championship. In a couple weeks, we look forward to the and this is typically
The first day of classes, I realize, too.
The first team that plays typically at Auburn every year is soccer. And Auburn, I think, has its first match first or second week of August. So we'll talk with Karen Hoppe, Will Herring in about 3 weeks to talk about that 2004 team. And then, the athletic events begin. The athletic calendar begins. And we'll have Tiger Talk, our first Tiger Talk of the year, on the Auburn Sports Network over on Wings. We'll be on the 19th.
Yeah, looking forward to
on
that.
On Monday during football season this year.
Back to Mondays.
Yeah, back to Mondays for that first Tiger Talk will be on location at the Hall of Fame Club. It's an invitation-only event at Plainsman Park, and then we'll be back at Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
Ooh, speaking of Plainsman Park.
Yeah, there's a little bit going on.
It is really impressive.
Yes, it is. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Oh, we're really looking forward to it. So that's great, Andy. Looking forward to everything and really interesting hearing some of the background and on the Talking Tigers.
There's always stories there, and you get to learn about it. So I enjoy that part of it.
All right. Well, maybe in the next 5 to 15 minutes, the Cards can pull a deal to add somebody.
It.
You think they're selling?
I think they're done. I don't think they're selling.
No, they don't appear to be selling.
I think they're just done.
Oh,
as far as the trade deadline. That's my opinion.
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here in hour number one. We've got our top of the hour break coming up here shortly. Coach Coach Don Dunn going to hang around here for hour number 10. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise as we continue here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We got
Jimmy.
We can talk to Jimmy for about 30 seconds. Jimmy, we've got the top of the hour break coming up. What's going on?
Yes, I'm with the Auburn Elmore County Club, and we're doing a special award honoring Dylan Cardwell.
Right.
And you know how he emphasized how he was coming back last year with the Auburn Creed. Well, we felt like he exemplified everything the Auburn Creed stands for, so we've named an award, Live the Creed Award.
Oh, that's
and
great.
We're going to be presenting that to Dylan this Monday night in Wetumpka. We're having a banquet and honoring him, and we're really looking forward to it. This is the first ever that we've done, but you know, all the words when you break down the creed, you know, he just fills in all the blanks there.
Absolutely. And, Jimmy, I tell you what, hang on, we'll get a little more of that info from you here during the break. We appreciate that. That's great to hear about that, and a great honor for Dylan, very deserving. We need to step aside for our top of the hour break. Back with hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star backyard is the place to make lasting memories. Like roasting marshmallows on a cool fall night. That.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody doing well on another hot summer afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Our thanks to the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, who was with us in hour number one. Dan has been trying to get moved, literally. I mean, yes, it is. It's the time of year when leases end at the end of July. And Dan had to find another place, and Drew helped him out. Drew, our producer, helped him out there and made it in a little after four. Dan said he might come in. We can make it, but we'll see Dan when he gets a chance to take a break from moving all of his items from one place to another. But we're here with you for hour number two of the Tuesday Drive, and the second hour of the show brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join in on the show. You can do so by calling the Drive hotline. It is sponsored by Skybar, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. And we were talking with Jimmy when we ran out of time at the top of hour, at the end of hour number one, and want to hear a little more about some big goings on over in Elmore County. Jimmy, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sure. All right, you were talking about an award that an honor that that y'all are going to give to Dylan Cardwell coming up on Monday, and there may have been some folks that weren't able to be listening, or they heard me say we're wrapping things up there at the end of hour number one. So go ahead and let's sort of start over so that everyone knows exactly what you have going on.
Okay, we were discussing that. You remember when Dylan announced how he was returning for his last year at Auburn, and he did it on the basis of words from the Auburn Creed.
Right.
And we got to talking, and that was really a special thing. And we just said, you know, all the words in the creed there that so many Auburn people I know are familiar with fits the life of Dylan. And we said, well, why don't we give special recognition to him and present a first ever award to him and acknowledge, you know, how he it sets an example for all of us to live by. And so that's what we decided to do. And this Monday night, the Elmore County Auburn Club will present at the banquet the award to Dylan.
That's
great.
No, go ahead.
And we were just really looking forward to it. We're just excited to have him come to our club and to recognize him for all his efforts.
Well, I don't know that you're going to find – you're not going to find many finer young men who represent the Auburn spirit and the Auburn creed than you will in Dylan Cardwell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great team leader. You know how he excites the team when he gets on the court. And, you know, his signature, he extends both arms there mm-hmm. on the court, you know, and excited and all. Well, we've carried that over to the design of the trophy.
We've oh, is
got
that right?
Albie with extended arms.
And, oh, that's cool.
The creed is behind Albie.
That is great. Of course, I mean, we've been fortunate to have Dylan join us as a regular during basketball season. And, you know, the good news for him and for Auburn, Auburn folks, is I think you're going to see a little more of him this year from everything we're hearing. I think he's going to get an opportunity to get a little more court time. He's had plenty, but I think he's going to have an opportunity to get even more.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, like I mentioned, he does ignite the crowd and the team when he comes in off the bench, and we're excited about that. We have just a few tickets, and I mean a few. We've got like a dozen tickets left for this. We'll be serving a prime rib and chicken and all on Monday night. And if anybody's interested, you can purchase tickets on the Elmore County Auburn Club Facebook site.
Oh, okay, that's great. I was going to ask you if there was any way that folks could get involved. So that's great for them to be able to do that.
Yes, yes, and it's $50, which we're serving steak and all is pretty expensive. Ticket, but you'll get a lot for your money. We'll have a raffle and giving away some Auburn items, and so it should be a fun night for everybody, and especially for Dylan. We wanted to make this special, and understand he's going on a mission trip soon after the banquet on Monday night. Mm-hmm. So he remains involved in his religion and all the activities in the community. He supports the team, the football team.
Oh, yes. You see him at all kind of events. I can, you know, you've seen him. I've seen him at gymnastics and at baseball. And I mean, yeah, he's someone. First of all, he's hard to miss.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is a great supporter, no question about it, and a great representative of Auburn.
Yes.
Oh, he certainly is, and we're just we're proud to do this, and we hope people, you know, the few tickets we have left, you know, I hope people can go ahead and.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Now that you know, hopefully a few folks that are listening will think, hey, this is a great thing to take advantage of and do on Monday night.
Yeah, it's a short drive from Auburn to Wetumpka.
Oh, that's right. No question about it. Jimmy, it's great hearing from you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bill.
Oh, absolutely. Jimmy Melton with the Elmore County Auburn Club. Yep. That's a
really good award. Like we said, a great, great award, great recognition for a young man that is an Auburn man. And he deserves that award for all he does.
Oh, he does.
And I always enjoy listening to him on the show when he calls in, very articulate. And he loves Auburn. And, you know, that,
no
just the fact that he's coming back, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, again, you can go to the Elmore County Auburn Club's Facebook page. You can just Google Elmore County Auburn Club, and it'll pull that up. And they have a few tickets left for that on Monday night. All right, we're just getting underway here in the second hour of the show. Love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, sports-wise? Don, we talked with Andy a little bit about this. About the Big Cat this past week? It's something that really Auburn came up with about 15 years ago.
Yep. Coach Chizik, I believe.
Absolutely
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
And it was a success initially. I don't know that it's ever been a bigger success now. This is one thing that had some people wondering, man, can you ever recall as many commits over a short period of time? And I don't know that I can.
No, I don't think it's ever happened. I mean, I would be shocked. Usually you get one or two, maybe one or two a week, and you're excited, but nothing like this. And all the in-state guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know their goal is to sweep the state. I know they got some slogans and momentum well, going with that.
They're getting pretty close.
Yeah. But I think it's a great idea, you know, and things have changed. You know, kids love that stuff. They love the hype. Mm-hmm. They had a scavenger hunt. They had all kinds of great things.
Well, they did. The thing is, it wasn't just like a recruiting visit.
It wasn't just football.
No, it was very little football is what it's become. What this has become, it's something to try to build a bond, some chemistry with the whole group and try to show them as fun a time as possible and let them see that, hey, it could be great.
It can be more than football.
To be with these guys,
yeah,
and you know, year round.
And another good thing they do, they get them not only with their position coach, but they may spend, you know, a session or time a D lineman with the O line guy. That's so important. So they know everybody on the staff, mm-hmm. the support staff, when they leave campus on Sunday or Saturday night, whenever they left. But I know they did a lot of fun things. They had great decorations. I drove by there Sunday, and they were taking all this stuff out, and it looked like a Hollywood production, and balloons everywhere, and they had all the golf carts. It was very well organized, a lot of work put into it, and I'm sure they had DJs and music and great food, and I think it's just a great idea, and a lot of schools are trying to copy this.
Right. But Auburn still.
Yeah, one of the first that I ever remember.
Auburn's going to be the first.
Right, that's right. But a great idea.
Yeah, and you know, something we haven't even mentioned is, yes, things did go as expected. Naquan Fagans did commit to Auburn last night. Mm-hmm. He became the eighth commitment from Big Cat Weekend. And then his teammate, Jared Smith, is another very highly mm-hmm. touted player, an edge from there in Thompson. And he's going to have his decision made public on Saturday. And Auburn, everyone feels like Auburn is the solid leader there. That would give Auburn 8 of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama.
That's
and the awesome. Other and the other two are committed to Ohio State.
Yeah, which can change in a heartbeat. That's a long way from home.
Both of those players,
and
by
cold.
The way.
Hey, guys, it's cold up there.
It's cold, and it's a long way from mom and daddy.
That's
and,
right. You
know,
can't do laundry. You can't go home and get a Sunday meal.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was recruiting. I shouldn't be doing that.
No, that's okay.
I think they've done a great job with how I think Coach Freeze met with all the commitments, kind of made them the special deal. And when you get them around the other guys, it's just – you know, it's all about connections and relationships. And those guys recruit hard. And I think the players here, I don't know them, but they are doing a great job of recruiting.
Right. They have to. For you to have a great recruiting class, you've got to have players that are helping out. Because if recruits come in and the players aren't happy.
You can't have jealousy. You can't have pettiness. You got to all be on the same page. And that is so important. And even back when I was coaching – our best recruiters were our players because they're going to ask a current player, hey, how's this Don Dunn really like? Is he as big a grump as they say? But, yeah, they tell the truth, but it's just the momentum is – and it gets snowballing. And everybody's excited, and we got to just keep it going. Mm-hmm. And now's when the work begins after the commitment. You got to keep doing – you can't slack off.
Oh, that's right. These days, I mean, you've always had that, but now you want to –
you can't miss a day.
Schools aren't going to back up just because a player says they're going to one place.
No, they're going to turn it up, especially up the state.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're seeing how many players Auburn has flipped from other schools.
Right.
Don't think that other schools
don't
want
exactly,
to do the same thing.
Exactly.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to the hotline. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, really enjoying the show. Always enjoy hearing Coach Don. Really, really impressed with what Coach Freeze is doing. You can tell they're really working on the recruiting trail. It's really just incredible. But I had an unusual question. Someone had brought attention to me, and I'm just wondering if this is – in recruiting, And when schools look at recruiting, particularly like Auburn, do they take into consideration the differentiation of cost for in-state scholarships versus in-state tuition versus out-of-state tuition? In other words, are there budgetary things that they look at in regards to the number of recruits they may want to try to sign in-state versus out-of-state? That was really my only question.
All right. That's a really good question, John, because I had been reminded not too long ago where some people were talking about, well, you know, what's the big deal? All the money that the athletic departments already have. I mean, they're getting the scholarships free. No, they're not.
Mm-mm.
The university is getting the money from the athletic department for the tuition.
Right.
So, yeah, if you have almost all out-of-state players, and that's one thing that's really been interesting to see, and I can understand Kalen DeBoer had more contacts from the West Coast. They have more commitments from California than they do from the state of Alabama. Now, I don't know the difference in Alabama's in-state and out-of-state tuition, but there still is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you are, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost more for out-of-state tuition. And I'd never really – I'm glad
Great
John
question.
Brought that
Great
up because
Chris.
I'd never thought about that. The cost of attendance for an out-of-state student is going to be more, and that should be costing the athletic department even more. So I don't think that it has ever been the overriding factor in who at Auburn, or I would imagine most SEC schools, I don't think that's ever been something that, hey, we don't need to recruit out-of-state players because our budget's not big enough. But if that's a concern, you shouldn't be in the SEC.
Right.
But that still is interesting. It would affect your budget. So it doesn't hurt. It's a double bonus. Mm-hmm. If you can reel in most of the top players in your state, and Auburn hasn't done this in a long, long time. Matter of fact, I don't know that I can ever recall Auburn signing. Now, they haven't signed these guys yet. They're just committed. But I don't know that I can ever recall Auburn having signed 7 or 8 of the top 10 players in state. I think 6, maybe 7 is the most I've ever seen Auburn get, and that was with Coach Dye, of the top 10. But I guarantee you the other 3 weren't going to Ohio State back then.
Right.
And I was about to say a little while ago, if Auburn picks up Jared Smith, if they get a commitment from him on Saturday and have 8 of the top 10, the other 2 players who are committed to Ohio State, oh, by the way, were at Big Cat this past Saturday
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So don't count yeah. Auburn out on those yeah. guys either. Great call, John. That's a great question. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number 2 here on the Tuesday Drive. Come on in and join us.
Take your brand to the
67 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. He was with us for the entirety of hour number 1. If you missed any of that, we encourage you to check out our podcasts of The Drive, which are sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can go check that out. Southeastern Industrial Contractors, also the sponsor of The Drive text box. You can text us at 334-564-1840. All right, Don, we've mentioned a couple of times, just a couple of days away from the start of fall camp.
Yep.
And as Andy was saying, I'm going to be really interested in looking at the defensive line. I know everybody right. wants to watch the wide receivers, but Auburn has a new-look defensive line. They needed to with guys, you know, using up their eligibility and moving on after last year, most notably Marcus Harris. Auburn brought in 2 transfers that they had during the spring
mm-hmm.
in Gage Keys and I'm trying to think of the Trill Carter. Trill Carter came in from Texas. Gage Keys came in from Kansas. Now, the 2 of them, what's really interesting, those 2 guys had started their college careers together at Minnesota.
Yeah.
So they know each other. That can help them a little bit. But you have those two guys along with some youngsters there on the interior this spring. And then over the summer, Auburn adds two more transfers as they get Philip Bleedy from Indiana, Isaiah Rakes from Texas A&M. I'm really interested to just watch as these guys try to become a core, because this is, there's no question, it starts up front,
right,
on both sides of the ball. And if you have weaknesses on either the offensive or defensive lines, man, other teams are going to take advantage, and it's going to be very difficult for you to be successful on either side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, football's still football. You got to be able to stop the run with your front, and you got to be able to rush the passer with your front. Now, there's different schemes you can use, you know, blitzes, twist, all that kind of stuff. But you are exactly right. They will have to find out pretty quickly how those young men fit in, who's going to be the starter, who's going to be the backup. They all need to play. They all need to be ready to play, because you cannot play one or two guys that many snaps. Not in today's football. Even back when I was coaching, we tried to roll them. The fresher you are in the front, especially in the fourth quarter, the better off you're going to be. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting spot to watch, like, you know, like you said, with the receivers. But so important up front.
Yeah, I mean, now Auburn's got Jason Jones is a returning, you know, he started some, played a good bit last year. And, of course, Keldrick Falk is you know, one of the sophomore, the first sophomore that Auburn's ever taken to media days.
He looks the part.
he's a grown man who's 19 years old. I mean, in addition to those guys, the players I mentioned, the transfers, you've got Bobby Jamison Travis, who was a junior college transfer last year, came in late, was injured a little bit. This is his time. I mean, he needs to step up.
Yeah, it's hard when you're a junior college kid. It's just different. I mean, I played at a junior college. I coached at a junior college. So I'm not saying anything, you know, bad. It's just hard, especially to go to the SEC and a top program like Auburn. But I look for him to be better. I look for everybody that was here last fall and in the spring to be better. You know, we've talked about the quarterback. He's finally getting some help.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me the other day that if you took his – and I don't know for a fact, but he had like – the quarterback had a 61.9% passing percentage.
Yeah, completion percentage.
Yeah. So take away the drop balls and where those guys weren't where they were supposed to be from what we've heard and could see, he might have had 70% or better. So he's going to be better. He wasn't even here last spring. It's
right.
Just amazing. And I'm excited, and I think we're going to – you know, get the D-lines coming together, get them playing, and it's going to be exciting.
You know, all right, so I know things have changed a little bit, but, mm-hmm. I mean, what were some of your the things you really wanted to get accomplished early on in fall camp?
Well, number one thing, you got to keep them healthy. You worry about that. It's changed. I think it's better for the athlete now. You don't have the back-to-back two-a-days like we did. They're going to be smarter with practicing in the morning, indoors when it's too hot. You know, we went over those intramural fields. I don't know how they survived. They were tough as nails. But what you look for is a rotation. You got to get your rotation down. You got to find out who can get it done in certain situations. Who's best against the run? Who's best against the pass? And get them working, you know, together. Who knows the defense? Who's a studier? Who's early? Who's doing all the little things off the field and on the field? And, you know, you just kind of build your two deep and maybe hopefully a three deep. But you just look for little things that what's going to make this guy a better option for me than this guy.
Going to be really interesting to watch the new pieces that are out there. There are more of them on defense really than there are on offense for this year. You know, Andy was talking about Bug Thompson, the Texas transfer, who appears to be a starter at safety. Safety's an interesting – I'm not really sure exactly how everything on the back end is going to go. I do think that it's going to be – I think it's going to be fun to watch the defense. DJ Durkin's defenses have always been very aggressive defenses.
He's a hard-nosed coach. You know, he's from the Muschamp tree. So he's going to get after it. He's going to. Mm-hmm. They're going to play hard. But yeah, I don't know exactly what they're going to do or what they even call those guys now. You know, the different positions. You know, I know they say edge rusher now, where we used to say DN. You know, you got
now there's a defensive end, right. And there's either a buck or a jack or whatever.
Right, who's a guy that can drop in coverage and yeah. But I think I look for big things out of the defense. And again, it's like you said, Bill. It's all up to what they can get going up front.
I think the there's legitimate reason for excitement when you look out there. The roster turnover, the roster management. Andy was talking about.
They've done a great job, and you have to, like you said the other day when I was here, you have to have so many people in these programs now, and they're not just putting on the Auburn shirt and running out there on Saturday. They're working, and they probably got somebody really watching these kids that can come into the portal all night long because. You know how kids, they don't sleep. You know, they might join the portal at 3 a.m., and you better know it.
Well, the good thing is, at least, I mean, the NCAA appears to be trying to at least,
get a handle.
You know, put some parameters as to when you can get in the portal.
Yeah.
Now, players that want to transfer at other times, then there's not as big a rush for them because those guys aren't going to be eligible, and gals wouldn't be eligible immediately the way it is when you enter the portal.
And you know, another good thing I was thinking about today, talking with a buddy of mine, the nice thing about these commitments this late in the year, I mean in the this time of year, these guys, these high school commitments are going to start practice this week. They're not going to have as much time.
Some of them have already started. Yeah, they're about to start Thursday.
Now, they might be able to visit somebody on a Saturday, but they're not, they're tied up. And if I'm a high school coach, I'm cutting all as much as you can. All right, guys, let's concentrate on us. So
because they've only got 3 weeks until the season gets started.
So that's going to help Auburn, I think. Anybody that's committed, they're not going to be as available. I mean, you can steal with social media, but if I'm a high school coach, I'm going to say, look, buddy, you cut all that back. Now let's go beat,
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. There were a lot of Auburn fans. Folks that were concerned because Auburn didn't have any players in the last weekend before the dead period. What did they do? The first weekend after the dead period, they had Big Cat, and they've already gotten 8 commits.
And nobody else can do that now. I mean, this time of year. Yeah, it's great.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I think I saw where today Dwight Smith from Selma.
Derek. Yeah, Derek Smith.
Derek Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened. That happened over the weekend.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, I mean, see, Auburn got they got 2 flips from Alabama and Derek Smith and Antonio Coleman, and then they added 3 other. They've added 3 others. For the 2025 class, Anquan Fagans was the latest. That was last night. He's the safety out of Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And then his teammate, Jared Smith, who's a big edge rusher from Thompson, he's going to make his announcement this coming Saturday, and everyone feels pretty good about Auburn being his pick as well.
That's great. Just wanted to mention, I've watched the women gymnastics competition today.
Man, SUNY was outstanding, wasn't she?
She was. All of them were.
Yeah, they really were. The U.S. won team gold. Italy finished 2nd, and then Brazil 3rd. But, and if you watched it to the very end, you heard a war eagle from the crowd. And,
yep.
And SUNY giving them a fist bump back.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
All right,
Jerry. Appreciate
you.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in the final half hour of the Tuesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn. Whoa, he's moved. He's on the other side of the room.
Got a little better headset.
Got out of Dan's old seat and got into the to like the guest seat.
We were hard on that chair, Dan and I. Believe me.
The floor is taking the brunt of it over there. It really has. We're gonna have to get our carpet folks in.
Two big guys been rolling around over there.
Yeah, I didn't notice. Dan must move. He must move.
I think he does.
Maybe he does while he's here. Maybe he's rocking the whole time or something. I don't know. Dan taking the day off. Really not taking the day off.
No.
He was working, wasn't he, Drew? Did he have to work? He actually had to do some work.
He actually did some work.
Yeah, I mean, he was moving is no
I
fun.
I hate moving,
I do
Bill.
Not no.
God bless my wife with coaching. I always went ahead, and she got stuck with the moving.
I know a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I've had some family members, and I know my sister-in-law was one who, she just loved, I think, to build, decorate.
And then move.
And sell and then move. Sell and move. And just did that.
I mean, it
seemed like every two or three years, she was moving to a new place.
Yeah.
I hate doing that. Part of that is I end up collecting too much stuff because you always have more stuff than you think you do.
No matter what
size place you have, when it comes time to move, it's like, where'd all this crap come from?
More than you ever need or ever use, and I'm the worst. My wife would throw everything I have out.
My wife would argue with your wife over who's the worst. I can tell you that.
I tell you what, I'll find it out in the garbage and take it out and put it in my car or something.
I'll find some, or something will break, and I'll think, I might use a part of that.
Exactly.
You know, and every once in a while I do.
Yeah, like you fixed your lawnmower, right?
I mean, I'll have something that's like, oh, I've got an O-ring, or I've got something.
I've got that somewhere.
I think I've got something that size, and a lot of the time I do.
And also, we always had a pickup truck, and every weekend when I was younger, it seemed like one of my buddies wanted to move and borrow my truck.
Oh, that was
awful.
And see, that's one of the things. Yeah, I used to. I definitely would take advantage of Chuck back in the day.
Yeah, oh, Chuck.
Because
none
of us had a truck.
Right, Chuck always did. Had an old truck.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Still sitting down there. I see it every day.
Oh, man. That thing has moved quite a few things.
Oh, yeah.
For not as much for me, but my boys.
Right.
Oh, I mean.
Football equipment, baseball equipment, name it.
I'm talking furniture.
Yeah, furniture.
Furniture that needed to get moved. Yeah. Beds and dressers and. All kinds of things. So that's what Dan's been doing today, and he should be back tomorrow. But yeah, we're having fun here on the Tuesday edition. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, you want to talk a little we talked about the Olympics a little while ago.
Wow.
So Jerry impressive. Mentioned that, too, as Suni Lee with another gold medal as part of the team competition. USA pretty much ran away with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had that one. As they went to the fourth rotation, I mean, everybody would have had to have, fallen off the off the beam
bars,
for them to have lost, and they didn't. And Suni, outstanding again. So the individuals will be coming up. She'll be competing
Thursday.
Yeah, she'll be competing in the beam and the uneven bars.
They're amazing. I mean,
it is crazy
it.
As you watch, and then you hear the announcers, the former competitors at times. I almost had a feeling for a while that the commentator, the former gymnast, was being overly critical. It felt a couple of times like, you know, I'd see the scores come up, and boy, don't ask me about scoring.
No, me either.
Because you know, it used to be a 10 was the best you could get. Now you have the degree of difficulty and
the routine
and then the execution.
Yeah.
And it seems like nobody's getting extremely high numbers on the execution. It's 8 point something.
Right.
You're gonna see there. And then it's gonna get, depending on the degree of difficulty, whether it goes from a 5 to a 6 point something, you're seeing scores in the 13s, the 14s, that it seemed to be really good scores now.
Yeah.
Where it used to be, it was based on a 10. I can understand them wanting to change that a little bit because and he started giving out too many 10s.
Right.
I think that's what it was. It's like, well, that deserves a 10, but then the next one comes along and is better, and you couldn't give it a 10 plus. It had to just be a 10.
Right.
So they've done that. But
that's very interesting.
It almost felt like at times the commentator was being a little critical of Suni, but then she almost couldn't speak after her.
Right.
Was the floor the last thing they did? I think it was. I mean, she almost couldn't. She was almost so choked up about how good it was.
Well, just think of all the time, all the practice, all the going here, the parents taking them around, the grandparents, the money involved.
Oh, no
the
question sacrifices. About that.
And then they for a few minutes, and they come through. It's just amazing. Makes you very proud of our young people.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
And old people. There's some 30, 40-year-olds still competing. I can't believe it. That lady from Sweden was 30-something years old and came in second.
Wow.
In the swimming event. The swimmers are amazing, too.
Those
synchronized divers, I don't know how they do that. That's crazy. I wouldn't get up there if you paid me.
Well, I did say to Kathy, I said, you know, I mean, they're amazing athletes, and I mean, then you look at the swimmers and you go, wow, you've never seen.
And they
keep
getting faster and faster.
You just wonder, you know, how much faster can they get? Especially when you see some of the records that nearly stand. I mean, could stand for 20 years or something like that.
And I love the rivalry with the women between the Australians and us. I think we're too friendly with them. But anyway, I'm prejudiced.
Well, you know, a lot of them have known each other forever because
they're like best friends.
Swam together in college.
And most of them swim in the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
Of all the countries.
Yeah, they come over here. I mean, you see the French swimmer we were talking about a while ago, Leon Marchand.
That is an interesting story.
His story was interesting, and then as we were saying earlier, I didn't realize there was a bit of an Auburn connection in there as well. But his coach, Bob Bowman, who was Michael Phelps' coach, they did a little piece on him a couple of days ago where they talked about the email that he had sent to them and said he'd like to swim for the University of Arizona State. But it turns out that Bob Bowman, and something we didn't see in the TV interview, was Bob Bowman said the reason he paid attention to it is because the last name was familiar to him, Marchand. He had seen his father at a meet in Auburn that he was at with Michael Phelps. Dave Marsh at Auburn Aquatics. Xavier Marchand, Leon's father, had already competed in two Olympics in 96 and 2000 for France. And he was trying to, you know, see if he could make a third Olympics, and so had come to Auburn to train with with David Marsh.
What a story.
And was swimming in a meet that Bob Bowman and Michael Phelps, but Michael Phelps was competing in, and Bob Bowman was there, and he knew
the name.
Xavier Marchand from competing in the 96 and 2000 Olympics, and so that's one of the reasons that he, you know, paid attention to that email from Leon, who is now one of the best swimmers in the world.
Great story.
Yeah, it's
you
cool.
You never know the connections. But
small world.
But
it,
most
it really
of them
is.
Have a lot of SEC connections. Gainesville's popular.
Oh, you're not
the
kidding.
Swimmers, you know, Auburn, Texas, all those schools. But like I said, most of them train in the United States.
Yeah, so there was another connection along with the 11 current and former Auburn athletes who are competing in the Olympics. Tell you what, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. I'm going to hit some of the high spots. The Major League Baseball trading deadline has passed. Now, sometimes it takes 15 to 30 minutes for the paperwork to get done. I think we've pretty much seen the end of it. We'll hit some of the highlights from that today as well. So stick with us. We got one more segment to go here on the Tuesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
1-1-3-9-0. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in to the Drive final segment here on this Tuesday afternoon. And as I said, the Major League Baseball trading deadline ended at 5 o'clock today. Now, some of the deals weren't announced until a little after. They have to get all the paperwork, and the paperwork has to be into the commissioner's office. But I guess they had to make sure all the details were fine. There weren't any medical questions, things like that. You do see players who aren't healthy traded. Saw that earlier today. Alex Cobb of the Giants was traded to the Guardians, to Cleveland. The Guardians made quite a few moves. The Orioles made quite a few moves. The Marlins looked like they were trying to just completely disassemble their team. They'd already traded, mentioned they traded Jazz Chisholm to the Yankees a couple of days ago. Pretty good start for him. He hit two home runs last night for the Yanks, as did Aaron Judge. But they trade Tanner Scott, their all-star closer, to the San Diego Padres today. The Marlins are just loading up on prospects. It's going to be interesting because, you know, the minor leagues trimmed the number of teams that they had. They're probably going to be releasing some minor leaguers to make room for some of the prospects that they got back. But they got four prospects from the Padres, including three of their top five prospects for Tanner Scott. Now, the Padres already have a closer in Robert Suarez, so I guess they can go righty-lefty with their guys. Padres, a team that a lot of people thought would be selling a week or so ago, but they've gotten on a hot streak. So they are adding players. But the big name that did move today, Jack Flaherty, who has been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball this year, going to the Dodgers. Braves fans are like, are you serious? but, I mean, the Dodgers really have become sort of what the Yankees were. They're the team with all the money, mm-hmm. And they have a lot of prospects. They traded a couple of guys who weren't even their top prospects for Jack Flaherty. Now, the reason they could do that is Flaherty is a free agent at the end of the year. So you're not gonna be able to get the top prospects on a team for a rental for a guy who's only going to be around for a year. Now, for players, usually aren't, although I just contradicted myself by saying the Padres traded three of their top five prospects for a rental in Tanner Scott. But, I mean, most of the time, players that have more time of service that the team can hold on to them, you're going to be able to get more back for those players. But I would say the highlights of the day are Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers, Tanner Scott to the Padres, the Orioles adding, man, they've added a lot. They got Trevor Rogers, had already got Zach Eflin. They got Gregory Soto from the Phillies. The Phillies had just gotten Carlos Estevez from the former Rockies. He was with who was he with in the American League? The Angels. But the Braves, and this one's sort of not a big splash from this, but the Braves really needing some hitting, picked up Jorge Soler, who has hit 40 home runs a couple of times in his career, was the World Series MVP for the Braves back in 2021. Mm-hmm. The Braves get Soler and Luke Jackson, who Braves fans used to love to hate because, I mean, he could be great. He could come in and explode at any time. But they're getting an arm back in the bullpen. And Soler, I guess he's going to have to go to the outfield, play right field probably for the Braves, because they've got Marcell Ozuna, who is having the best year of any Brave. So they've got a couple of guys who have been primarily DHs. I looked after I saw the Soler deal, and Soler has only played three games in the outfield this year. But that's three games more than Marcell Ozuna has played in the outfield. Marcell played a couple of games in the outfield last year. So it's probably not going to help the Braves' defense, but they really needed some help offensively. So Jorge Soler most likely going to right field, and you'll see Adam Duvall shift over and get back into a platoon with Jared Kelenic, is what it looks like. But Other moves of the day, really nothing else. There were a lot of parts, a lot of role players or middle to setup type relievers that were dealt. But it's funny because I think when Jazz Chisholm and Zach Eflin were traded a couple of days ago, I think people thought, wow, they're going to be some huge deals at the trade deadline. And Jack Flaherty did go from the Tigers to the Dodgers, but that was the biggest move. There was no Garrett Crochet. There was no couple of there had been talk a week or so ago about Luis Robert of the White Sox, a big time hitter going, but the Sox held on to their two young studs. Good for the White Sox to do that. They did send Eloy Jimenez to the Orioles, who'd already added a couple of pitchers. So it'll be interesting when the dust settles. And it's not just going to settle now, because the time to really look at this in a year or so, and we'll see where some of these prospects wind up, how well they go. Because you had like the deal that sent Juan Soto to the Padres a couple of years ago. It looked like, wow, what a great deal that was for the Padres. Soto then is gone from the Padres, and the Nationals have James Wood, who is a tremendous power young outfielder, C.J. Abrams, who's an all-star shortstop, and Mackenzie Gore, who's a starting lefty. They still have those three guys, and that's what they got for Soto. So that's what the teams that dealt these players are hoping they get. We'll just have to wait and see how they do. In the meantime, the other teams are hoping to get somebody that's going to help them as they try to push for the postseason down the stretch. So always interesting to watch that. So quite a few things going on. Don, I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
You coming in.
Thank you.
I look forward to maybe I'll see you out at practice some.
Yeah, I really want to get over there this year. I know I said it last year, but I'm going to go by this year.
Well, it comes down to it. We'll drag you in there and say, look, he's on the air with us. He can come in and watch.
But it's always a pleasure to be on. Exciting time of year. Won't be long.
Yeah, it is football time. So looking forward to that as well. All right, we are out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Our thanks to Andy Burcham for joining us in the first hour. And my thanks, as always, to Coach Dunn for coming in. Dan should be back tomorrow. Jason Caldwell will join us on the eve of fall camp as well. So hope you'll join us then. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.